The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I see right now in the waiting room the almighty Aaron Putnam, who I just spent significant time ripping a new asshole about being late. Here we go.
Dude, I'm so fired. Yeah. I run the light on stage. I'm late. No, dude, I had an animal issue this morning. Have you ever been woken up, awakened too early?
And yeah.
And you fall back asleep because you're pissed off. You got a cat up on your face. Not a good cat. Not a good kitty. Then I fell back asleep and I feel so bad. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I forgive you already.
What have you been talking about?
You.
Oh, God. What a weak middler I am. And my career
no,
in the
no.
Shitter.
It was not like that. It was like I did extended time. It was a long rant. And this is how it went. I went. Let me explain something to you about comedians. First of all, back in the day, they used to have to show up in person, radio stations, some dude's house. Okay. And that's tough. That's not easy to do. They're usually owls, these people.
Yes.
And then the beauty of comedy is, and the pandemic is Zoom made it. Right. So we don't have to do that anymore. And they're still sleeping away their careers in their bed and missing great out. And I'm killing you. I'm like, this fuck. I was this killing.
Guy, it's got, who's going to show up and who's going to show up now?
Oh, shit.
I'm usually pretty punctual, actually. But anyways.
Well, it was, no, it's fine. And what's funny is because I set it up. I was like, you know, it's bad enough that the headliner Burke doesn't have the wherewithal to actually get his ass out of bed on a Zoom to talk about his show.
The thing is, he's like a certified genius. And so they don't wake up until, like, you know, they wake up in a different way. You know, they have, they're on their own thing, you know, but then he just kills on stage. You know?
Okay. Okay. And I've been talking a lot. About what is going on, and the Best of Chicago Comedy Tour is coming to Rockford Lanes here in West Michigan, so that's cool. I think that with comedy getting back, you got Thursday tonight. In fact, Jordan Garnett is going to be at Spectrum Lanes, and then you and Burke are going to be at Rockford Lanes with Don Veltman trying to find his way, get back into comedy. Take me through. I mean, Jesus, what have you, how has it gone for you, man? Tell me about all the things you've had to do during this pandemic.
Well, when it started, I got asked to do all these Zoom shows and I told them all to take a hike because I'm just not that kind of comedian. Like I can't, God bless the guys that can write jokes like that and just throw them into space like that. I mean, I don't do it. I saw someone do one with like a fake microphone, or then, you know, some people are just doing it with their hands. You know, if you've done late night, I guess it's a little easier, but, you know, that's all gone anyways. But, so I skipped all that and I started doing some private gigs at rehab. So, you know, people that just came off heroin, they're good audience members.
Wow. This, I thought it was a joke. You actually went in because you are recovering like me. We're both in the same boat.
I'm in recovery. So I got lucky like 5 years ago with someone saw me at a show at Zany's and they came up to me and they said, I'm the clinical director of a rehab. And we like to be progressive. So instead of like giving them finger paints or like, you're a tree, you know, like they want to give them something else. So I came up with this like, yeah. So I came up with this kind of a little AA thing for you, a fourth step, kind of dig into your guts a little bit, because that's where the funny stuff is anyways, after you get through the tragedy. So teaching them how to write a premise, and then I'd perform for them. So basically what I was doing is I was giving myself like 30 minutes on stage a week doing that. And then I was planning these events. So like on a Friday night, I was going to Indiana Center for Recovery. I went to just a bunch all over Illinois, some out west, like all over the place. So that's turned into something. And I bring other comics that don't necessarily have to be sober, but at least talk about, you know, drugs and alcohol in past tense, or how bad they were, or whatever, you know. So that Aaron Putnam comedian who is late as fuck.
No, that's fucking sweet. You know, it's because, you know, what's funny is whenever there's a speaker meeting, I love those, because these people get up there and they're telling their life story, and sure. And it just crushes. It's fucking funny shit. It's so good, because they always tell it like, you won't believe this next part. And then some of the shit, no, not all of them are like that. You get somebody who's like, oh yeah, there's, I mean, it's sad. It's somebody who's hurt, but occasionally you'll get somebody up there who I think there's talent in that type of storytelling, don't you?
Yeah, maybe. I'm looking at these comments right now. These people are mean.
Oh, they're all fucking idiots.
Oh my God, could this guy be any more boring? I'll smack him. Mark C, who's that?
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I command.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
I command comedians still working during these soft times. You got to navigate through the storm of your snowflakes in order not to get canceled.
Okay. He's actually likes you. Yeah.
Okay. If he's into women, waking up with a cat on your face can be great. That was a joke for the person from Mark C. It said, I woke up with not a good pussy on my face. So that was a bit right away.
Dude, I just spent significant time just before you, because first I beat you up, and then I beat up an audience member who, yeah. This was the bit. I was talking about my father. And
of
then
course
we'll get,
he vapes, he says.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
Listen to this. I was talking about my father, and the bit was this, because I bring my dad on the show every Wednesday. Now, he's 87. He's got dementia. And I was talking about when I talk to him from time to time, it's hilarious the things he forgets. And then the bit was, I go, I tell you what, of all the things that are going to take someone's life, dementia is the most hilarious. It's fucking, it's a lot funnier than cancer. It blows cancer away. Well,
the best thing, I mean, dementia, seriously, I mean, I've seen someone go through it where all the dogs in the cellar come out and they say things like, oh, I didn't know that you were gay, grandpa. Or, oh my, so the Navy was better than you said, huh?
Yes.
There you go, yes. Mark C.
Yes. So I say that, and one of my diehards is a P1 listener. His name is Brian. He's known as Bleeding Heart Brian. I get this seriously worded. I mean, this guy loves everything I say. That hit too close to home. And this, I'm like, you fucking asshole. What the fuck is wrong with you? Fuck you.
it's constant. Okay, that was funny. Now he's back. This is how sensitive we are as comics too. I'm just so triggered. I wish I was on stage right now.
I'm the same way. I just whenever I post anything, like I'll get a lot of great feedback, and then you get some people who then they don't like the joke. So what they do is they say something personal about me. I'm making a joke, and then they get so pissed because a lot of my jokes I have to publish on Facebook or I'll say on here, and then people lose their shit. It's like, you fucking asshole. And it's because they all have the nerve to do that because they're not in my face. At a comedy show, it's a little bit, because you could kick their ass right there, you know?
Oh, I love a good heckler in the audience. I mean, I dig deep right into their feelings. I mean, I find out exactly what really bothers them. I can see it and I just crush them. You know?
Yeah.
But it's all in good fun, you know?
Absolutely.
No, but I was late. Mark's right, you know?
Well, it's, you know, you're going to get this is a tough crowd, and I give it to them hard every day.
Yeah.
And these are the diehards, the one that watch it live. Cause everything we say here, we'll publish for the audio podcast. The majority of the people who get the show, get it from there. But
sure, gotcha.
The fact that these people sit down, watch, listen for 2 hours every single day. These are the ones who do it. So
yeah, man. God bless them. I
love them. I'm thankful for it. If I didn't have them, I'm very fortunate, and I've said this before, to be able to go from radio and then still be able to earn a living, because 20 years ago, 10 years ago, you just couldn't do it. It was just impossible. So
yeah, I mean, you did the radio for a long time, right?
Yeah, a whole real long time. And yeah.
Voss and those guys still talk about when you sat them down. Didn't Voss like fart during the thing or something?
He did. He is, boy, what a character.
Dude, I was just on the road with him. Talk about a grumpy fuck. Dude, he roasted somebody in the audience. Like, his comebacks are so quick, but like, dude, he did an hour and 20 minutes on a show on a Thursday.
Holy shit.
And I was like, what are you doing? He goes, I was killing. I was like, dude. He goes, are you hungry? I go, I was yesterday. I mean, now it's tomorrow. I mean, no.
He's an incredible comeback. I mean, considering where Rich was, to be even alive, I think.
And he cares a lot about recovery. I don't want to make this all about recovery. Yeah, we did some shows together and some live shows like last month. And then he came out to a rehab and spoke there. And, you know, the guy's done well his whole life. He's worked really hard. I mean, anyone that goes on the road 48 weekends a year, you know what I mean?
I love his podcast because I love what Bonnie says to him. I love when she just says, shut the fuck up. You know, I mean, it's really good. I really enjoy that show.
I mean, they love each other dearly, but yeah, she can, their kid will roast anyone harder than that. I mean, Raina is probably the funniest person I've ever met. I mean, like her kid is just hilarious. I mean, being raised by two comedians with that much sarcasm, I mean, it's insane.
How would you describe what you did for that show? You were a facilitator for the Creeps with Kids tour. You're in charge of everything with Robert Kelly, Jim Florentine, Ron Bennington, Rich Voss.
I put on a producer hat for that show, and, you know, we made some good money. And the problem was, you know, the venue, I show up there and this fucking drug addict sound guy shows up like nodding out and going like, you know, like, hey man, it's not my fault. I don't know what's wrong with the soundboard. And I said, we had to have the lights on in the auditorium because there was no stage light. And then we had this dim ass spotlight that would be like, you couldn't see. So they're all stressed out, but me of all people, I'm the one that I get blamed for losing my shit. All of a sudden Bobby hears me like, you motherfucker. I swear to God, if you don't get these fucking lights. And Bobby's like, Aaron, calm down. I go, you're telling me to calm down?
So, yeah, I mean, in terms of showbiz, doing a show, there's very particular things. You want the room dark. You want the spotlight bright. And just very basic logistic things that have to go down. And in this particular theater in Chicago, it was a shit show.
Yeah, and the prick that owned the place, he flipped my money and paid us in a month later. So I paid those guys so they, you know, didn't ruin my reputation or whatever. And so it was about Christmas before he paid me. And I was like, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to ruin Christmas, you white devil. Is this, you know, this kid, he's like this clean cut, like, you know, oh, I'm a good guy. I'm like, no, you're not. You took my money to pay, you know, Insane Clown Posse that you had the month before. Cause I know how it goes when people flip the money.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. Look at this comment. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Give us a hard time, but we also understand it comes from a middle-aged guy wearing a flat brim ball cap. Yeah, go Yankees too, you cunt. Fuck you.
That is Dirk in Clearwater, Florida.
He's down there in Florida. I hope somebody takes your face off on an ounce of Rohypnol. Florida, man. I was just down in Miami. I mean, even in Miami, you can just feel that someone's getting murdered. It's maybe there's nice parts of it. Who knows?
Yeah, for sure, man. But
safest place is a nursing home, maybe.
Let me ask you this. I mean, that tour was gigantic. How did you get wound up in that? I mean, that's really spectacular.
Well, I mean, I've been opening for Bobby for a bunch. I've been doing a bunch of shows with Bobby for a year, like 3 or 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And, so it was kind of his idea. And then I was like, you know, I'll take it. You know, I took on Chicago and we tried to do Michigan. But Mount Clemens is where the Emerald Theater was, and that didn't do as well. It did okay, you know what I mean? But it's just like, you know, these ONA fans and stuff, they're in certain parts of the country, and ONA is a long time ago. And even with Ron's Reach, you know, Mount Clemens, if you know that area, it's like you don't get the real – the money's on the other side of the highway, and it really divides into like a kind of a shitty area, and I don't think a lot of people want to travel for it, so –
Well,
all right, we got through it, but I don't know if they're going to do it anymore. I'd love for them to do one more in Chicago, but you know, I got to get everyone together. The band's got to be on the same page.
Hey, what's up? It's your pal EZ with another amazing partner for the Eric Zane Show podcast, the Eufy Video Lock. Oh my gosh. Smart lock, 2K cam and doorbell, 3-in-1 triple security. You got everything in one device. All right. Rather than install piecemeal, hoping that you got this app that it's going to work okay in that app. And oh, my God, this is not just for security, but also for convenience. No more worrying about losing keys. And you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. So, you know, like they all have their codes. They walk up to the door. They punch it in. The door unlocks. In they go. And of course, it's a video camera, so it's all there. You can see who shows up at your door. This is fantastic. We live in a golden age for home security. And the Eufy Video Lock is the top of the heap, okay? You can go to eufyofficial.com/videolock for more information. This thing is easy to install. The setup, all you need is a Phillips screwdriver. No drilling or anything like that. All the keyless entry components make it so fantastic. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Amazing. No battery anxiety. You've got the ultimate, I don't know what it is, super lithium whatever that keeps this thing powered for a long, long time. No monthly fee on this, unlike other brands that do that. They just bend you over and charge you a monthly fee. I love the Eufy Video Lock. Get to eufyofficial.com/videolock. eufyofficial.com/videolock.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Have you been following the progression of Opie from Opie and Anthony?
I have not, man. And I feel like the whole thing is kind of just dead. You know what I mean? I mean, there's very few of us left that appreciate it. So, yeah, I don't know anything about it. I really don't.
He's been podcast. Well, there's a podcast called Who Are These Podcasts, which I talk about a lot. And those guys, I don't know if you've heard of that show. They end up they review podcasts.
Right.
Just a guy named Carl who's from Anywhere USA, and he's gotten to be quite good at it. And a lot of famous comics have started to really like him. E-Rock from Opie and Anthony's show has become an ally, and so has Anthony. Anthony has become a big ally of the show.
Right.
And Carl has been reviewing Opie for extended time because Opie's apparently losing his fucking mind.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah, for sure.
So,
yeah, I mean, they all kind of are. I think it's just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
you know,
my God.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Jim and Sam is just a different thing, and yeah, I don't know, man. But
I want to get back to working with vulnerable people in that environment, like in rehab and things like that, and about telling stories when you have those meetings where people tell their life story and things like that. Because does yours have a moment that when you're telling people about it, they go, oh, my God, this is killing. Do you have any of those moments?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because, you know, I have a whole hour that's like all about recovery. So, I mean, I have jokes that are really just true stories about things about, you know, getting off Suboxone, or like, I'm getting, waking up in a Walmart parking lot, just different shit, so they're going to laugh about it. Some of them do. Some of them are still, I call it the frozen pineapple. If you talk about an audience, it's hard to get. If you read a room, you walk into a room of 35 people that just came off hard drugs, they're like, try to make me laugh, motherfucker. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
they do appreciate it though. And they appreciate the, people coming out and doing it and whatnot. So
I love that. I love all of that. And, I think once you get to that point and you chisel off that exterior and then you have a conversation afterwards, you're having a smoke outside or something like that. It's the meeting after the meeting to me that,
I was doing a lot of those during Zoom. I did do a lot of those during Zoom with some comics. We were doing like a meeting, and then the parking lot meeting was like just fun roast fest and just talking about, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Cause then, you get someone that comes up to you too and just says like, I like what you said. And, I went through that, cause there is a real serious, I don't want to take any of the, it's serious shit. You know what I mean? But, I'm coming up on an anniversary, and it's like, it took me a long time to get to a place where like, I'm not going to pick up,
How many years has it been for you?
It'll be 9, August 8th.
I hit 25 in June.
Hell yeah.
Congratulations to you. 9 years. That's great.
Yeah, dude, man. Congratulations. That's big, man. It's good. That's why I still go to meetings. Cause you meet the newcomers and do all that stuff. And those people keep you sober just by remembering how, you came in like hammered shit. You can show up late for meetings.
Did you have a significant other that got you to the point?
I was not with my wife, but I called it holding hostages. I was with a woman that says I stole the best 7 years of her life, as an addict, you always want to keep somebody around. You need them for, you use people,
Yeah.
So, I had some tumultuous relationships, amends that are never going to happen. Some people, this one person hates me more every year, like a fine wine. She ages like a fine wine. She's just like, even this year it's better. It's more, there's more rage because they just can't believe that. I have this one guy that was like, oh, glad you're doing better. On social media, he's like, glad you're doing better. Where's my $200? People are mad. It's like, some people are just like, I thought he was dead. You know what I mean? And I'm like, do you want me to be alive? I don't think anyone wants me dead, but no one's really losing any sleep that I'm sober, or, no one's going sober,
And what Aaron's referring to is all the people he wronged when he was a drunk. Eventually there's going to be a point when he may try to make amends if it doesn't harm them. In some cases, you don't, because it will. But if you at least throw it out there, they may at some point reconcile that amongst themselves and be willing to. And there's nothing wrong with them, because we've both fucked people up in the past in bad ways.
Well, yeah. And the thing is that in general, like what I say about the program too, is, people that aren't addicts could use it the same way in their life, because people are pieces of shit and they withhold information because nobody wants to get ahead of anything in the right way. I mean, someone like Louis C.K., it's like, the guy, the only thing that he really could have done that could have helped him and helped the whole situation is because he dealt with all that many years before it came out and kind of got better and got help. If he sort of said, I'm going to eat the crow. I'm going to surprise these people and have somebody reach out to them and go, listen, I was a piece of shit and none of this would happen. But instead, human beings, we try to like, cool, that foot hasn't dropped. We're good, and it's going to drop, dude. It's always going to drop. It comes out in the wash, and it's when you least expect it, you get blindsided with it.
So at some point when you try to like, okay, let's just say hypothetical person has a shit ton of trouble in the past and then says, okay, now I'm going to fly straight. If he hasn't reconciled all that shit, it could come back and wreck everything.
Well, yeah, and it's like that dumb show of My Name is Earl or whatever. It's kind of like that. It's like if you really want to clean up your shit, one, you just being honest in general, it's a lot easier, an easier way to live your life. There's no chaos, there's no drama, but you know, there's things you need to take care of. And like I said, you know, it's not up to us, to anyone, for how the other person reacts to what you say, but it's like for you, it's almost like it's still a selfish thing in a way, but it's like, I have to tell you, this is what I did or what I'm sorry for. And I hope that you can take that as a way of some kind of resolution, you know, like get resolved of if it's still bothering you and what can I do? And especially if it's financial, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I like this guy's comment. Very little to remember when you don't lie. David Mamet, tell the truth. It's the easiest thing to remember.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, because then you don't get caught in a lie.
Well, it's just insane, you know, and you never forget when you owe somebody money. You know what I mean?
Right.
No matter what. And the first thing you do is you bring it up. You see somebody that, you know, I used to be like that. It was like that Bronx Tale show movie. You'd be like, you'd see the person. They wouldn't even bring it up. You're like, dude, I'm going to get you that $100. And they're like, sure, man, whenever you really are going to do it.
Talk to me about your podcast, The Man Child and Yogi.
The Man Child and the Yogi. This is the room. I don't know if you can see it a little bit. I don't know, whatever. There's it's my wife and I. We haven't done it in a little while, because we've been pretty busy, but we get on there and mostly we shoot the shit. And you know, I'm the man child, she's the yogi, so she's sane and I'm insane. That's kind of how that goes. But we talk about everything from recovery to our careers to whatever may be going on just in our lives. Is that my cat?
That's your dog.
Oh, is that my dog? Yeah, that is my dog.
That's way back in March. Your dog. Yeah. What a chill dog that is, wearing glasses.
Yeah, dude, he's got his readers on. Yeah, so, you know, it's funny. My wife started her own podcast called All Things Yoga, and it's already got, like, Patreon members. Because she's been doing yoga so long, like, she has a following. So, to be honest, most of the people that listen are yogis and different people that have followed her stuff, and then some comedians, and then some fans I have from shows I've done around the country and whatnot. I don't know what. Oh, you know what that is too? Is a bunch of her yoga stuff goes on that page.
Yeah. By the way, she just has a look of patient. She is absolutely stunning to me.
Oh, thank you so much.
I can relate to this. I don't know, just something about women who are patient and have problem child husbands. My wife has that same thing. She's got this kook husband who's just, I mean, your wife and my wife, I am instinctually knowing they would be pals for life.
Yeah, but they got to meet for sure. You know, the thing with my wife is, like, people think that, like, oh, because of the yoga, she just was, like, chosen to be that way. She's actually a pistol herself, and she needs the yoga. Like, she does the yoga for a reason. Like, so
yeah.
So she doesn't snatch somebody's, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, it's really, I need to do it more, you know, it's definitely helps for sure. But, you know, the podcast needs, we had some people on, like I had a guy on that, you know, recovered from heroin and homeless and stuff, and talking to him about their stories. And some of these, you know, it's, I thought it was just going to be funny all the time. And it's really not. It's a lot of times it's just really, really good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, any type of content. There's two things: funny, compelling. That's it. If it's either of those, you can have compelling for 2 hours. Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that'll keep them. That's all you got to worry about.
Yeah, I swear to God, because, like, you know, I get invited on these comedy podcasts and stuff, and I'm like, if it's like six comics just talking about comedy, I want to throw up. It's just like, who? Like, I don't know if anyone gives a shit unless it's somebody big. Someone wants to listen to Burr talk about comedy. I mean, yeah, probably. You know what I mean? Me? No.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of those in Chicago, like just a bunch of dudes that live, you know, with six roommates, and they got to put a podcast together, and they're like talking about some open, you know, it's just like, what is going on?
Right on, man. This is awesome, man. You've won the room, because, and here's why I know that. First of all, I'm engaged. Second of all, you notice how the comments have whittled away to nothing. They haven't said shit.
That's
because you won them over.
You didn't mute them, right? Is that why?
No, I don't dare. They would kill me if I muted them. Occasionally I'll put them in timeout, but no one's done anything enough to warrant. And frankly, you've deserved every bit of it, because you were fucking late.
I do. And if Mark C's in Grand Rapids, tell me you have a free ticket to come out to the show.
Okay. Yeah, Mark C, get with me, and I'll make sure that your name is at the door with Big Dick Don over at Rockford Lane. So this is what I want everybody to do. You have a Friday night, and you have Don, a sponsor on the show, trying to get back on his feet. It's incredibly important that a packed house sees his shows, because then the comics are happy. They come back. You're happy because you're enjoying a great show. You're going out. You're having drinks. You're going to bowl a few frames. Son of a bitch. Why would you not go to this show?
Oh, man, I appreciate it. Yeah. Please come out to the show. Adam Burke's an amazing comedian as well. NPR's Wait, Don't Tell Me. I got a guy from Detroit, Diego Atanasio. So it should be a good show.
And you can even give Burke shit for not having the wherewithal to wake up, because while you were fucked because you were late, he's even worse because he can't wake up.
Oh, my God. It just would have never worked. It would have been insane.
Okay.
All right.
I need to look at my schedule because I have something. I am podcasting at 7 p.m. On Friday night.
Okay.
So what time are you going to start? What time will you actually take the stage, do you think?
I'll probably take the stage at 8:15.
Ah, shit. I'll still be podcasting then.
Still be podcasting.
Yeah, I do a Patreon podcast, but there's still no reason why I can't at least try to bust my ass to get out and see the back half of the show or some shit.
Well, hopefully, yeah, if you can, let me know and I'll put you on the list too.
Okay. Hey, Aaron, thank you so much, buddy. And again, for those who want to know, check out a fun podcast, Manchild and the Manchild and the Yogi podcast. Is there a website or anything I need to check out?
Yeah. My website, new one is up. There's two up right now, but go to the one, AaronPutnamLive.com. It's got all my dates all across the country and stuff like that. So follow up.
Yep. And I'll put all this in the notes of the audio podcast.
Okay. So appreciate it so much. I'm so sorry I was late. Everybody, thank you so much for listening in.
Oh, man. You did great. You did great. Way to make up for it. You fucking fixed it. I'm happy.
All right. I'll call you in an hour and apologize.
Okay. Don't worry about it, you asshole.
All right.
Okay. Tell your wife I said hi. She seems awesome.
All right. I will most definitely.
Okay. Bye-bye. See you, buddy. Bye-bye. To me, you took away everything I had to put the hurt on.